I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy.
Modern Royalty AU Chatfic.
No, seriously.
Written and read by Annalise Oten
and the Muse Calliope. Tariel sat in the train compartment and watched as the trees outside finally gave way to a rocky hillside. She'd finally done it. After all the years of vague planning and wondering what it would be like to strike out on her own, here she was. Not that she'd ever thought she would be taking the night train to Erebor in the process, but then no one else would think to look for her there either. A fresh start was what she needed. She'd miss Legolas, of course, but they were both grown now, and Tariel refused to step foot in a house owned by her uncle Thranduil ever again. As the train rattled on its way, she wondered bitterly how long it would take him to notice she was gone. I'm thinking we keep the geography of Middle-earth, but put it in a modern setting.
So, Thranduil and the elves live in Mirkwood? And they used to have beef with Erebor, but now it's mostly shady jokes and jabs at elven hair. Tariel is an orphan whose parents died at a young age. She was taken in by her uncle Thranduil. She grew up with her cousin Legolas, but she was older, so she basically raised the both of them on her own. Thranduil was more concerned with his startup company that ended up taking off. He was always away on business meetings or client parties and didn't get to spend as much time with the kids as he should have. Tariel eventually leaves Mirkwood because of a fight with Thranduil. She's been working at one of his satellite companies as a data analyst.
She has a computer science degree because Thranduil encouraged her to do so, and a minor in the literature of the Shire Movement because that and archery are what she actually enjoyed about school.
And yeah, the money was good, but she hated every minute of it. Tariel felt like her interest could be put to better use than making Thranduil and his rich investors even richer. All she wants to do is read and discuss history, literature, etc. Legolas may be content to let her have her dreams, but Thranduil is not pleased.
She chooses to leave on her own, taking a night train to Erebor, because who would think to look for her there when she's all about the Hobbit lit? Although Thranduil would never kick her out, she feels like it's time for her to strike out on her own, and Thranduil can just deal with it, especially after what he said in that last argument, Flip's hair. Hand-wavy setup for how she gets an apartment and the job at the Nook, where you can find obscure gems of the book world, tea to drink while you read them, and Dory's pastries that are fit for a king, or his consort. At first, she's hired to work the register and restock the shelves, but eventually, she moves on to redesign the website and switch them from analog to digital. Keely comes in, the first time, to get in out of the rain. Tariel is looking at a copy of The Black Arrow in the quiet store. He has a broken arm and needs her to help him zip up his hoodie.
Oh, Calliope! Okay, so, she's fumbling with the zipper, which is a little close to the family jewels. And that's when he says, "You never know what I could be hiding in my trousers." He doesn't have his entourage with him, but why would he? He's in his family store. So Tariel doesn't think anything of it when he walks in. She thinks he looks vaguely familiar, but can't place him. They chatted up for a while, and Keely asks her to find a book for him, which leads to a lot of banter. He comes back in a few more times, once for Bilbo's birthday gift, once to get some books on the line of succession, and another time for some on Erebor history.
Oh! You're looking for Beneath the Party Tree for your uncle? He might also like Dancing in May and The Pumpkin at Harvest if he hasn't read them already. They have very similar themes. I think those are the best of the lot from the Shire that inspired the Shire Movement. If he wants to explore the Shire Movement itself, I'd love to help him choose some things.
Keely forgets his own name, and to mention the fact that his uncle is, in fact, a hobbit.
Tariel chooses to take a break when he's there, and they talk in the cafe tea room while he tells her all about Erebor and the best places to visit, practical application of a history degree in wooing for the win. He even slips in, "If you want, I could take you there sometime."
And that's how they end up on their first date. it doesn't really matter where they go or what they do, but maybe by their third date, she sees the Feely plus Keely plus Female Dwarf headline on the front page of a tabloid. Feely has been spending a lot of time with her, and that's how Tariel finds out that she's been dating the Spare and working in the Doran family bookstore. Well, of course. Do you think we do extensive background checks on all employees? I thought that was an Erebor thing. We just thought you knew. And she has feelings about it?
At some point after Bilbo's birthday, and he gets the book from Keely, Bilbo goes to the store to have tea and a lovely conversation about Shire Lit. He really likes Tariel. I imagine that this is after 1, Tariel starts dating Keely, 2, the mugging, and 3, Tariel finds out Keely is a royal. Otherwise, a very recognizable consort coming by would be a dead giveaway. Tariel is enchanted by Bilbo, an actual hobbit who wants to talk about Shire Lit and is willing to engage her limited spoken hobbit in a conversation. She might just need a minute and some tea to get over her squee. Bilbo starts coming by the shop more regularly and tells Thorin about the nice young lady at the shop who shares his interest in books. Thorin thinks it's great that Bilbo has found a lit bro.
Thorin does not, however, make the connection between the young lady at the shop and the young lady Keely is dating. Dees will probably end up smacking him upside the head for this at one point. We probably need a little more meat here, but at some point, Thorin finds out that Keely and Tariel have been dating, and...
This is when Thorin decides to get angry at Keely for dating an outsider. What does he know about her? Why is she dating him? How does he know she isn't after something? Is he using protection? It's not like that, Uncle. I was a young man once. I know what it's like. That's when he makes the "you'll never be as good as King Thror" comment and storms out. Keely goes over to Tariel's house and gives the speech as to why he's been working so hard and purchasing all of these law/history books. Snuggles and hugs and whispers of, "You know you're not the Spare, darling." Then pizza. Then an unexpected house party. There's even some singing and dancing before Thorin and Dees arrive. Thorin and Dees show up and Tariel is in shock. It's one thing if you're hosting your boss and the head of the royal guard, and even Bilbo felt like Bilbo and not the king's consort, but it's something else when the king and princess of Erebor are sitting at your kitchen island having emotional conversations with your boyfriend.
At some point, she hears things start to get loud again, and Thorin talk about how Keely has been wasting all his time with Tariel, so she says, "You don't know how hard he's working. Keely has spent weeks researching how to change the line of succession." Of course, Thorin thinks that Keely did it for her, so they both screech, "No!" and stumble over each other with, "It's not like that," and "We've barely even kissed." Dees, being the intelligent woman that she is, walks over, takes Keely's face in her hands, and says, "My sweet boy, are you going to kill your uncle so that I could be queen?" Thorin is shocked because he's never thought of anyone else as being king, even hypothetically. Keely says, "We all know you and uncle will refuse to die, but when he abdicates at 150, you should get a turn at queen too." And they hug, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
Tariel feels out of place until Dees hugs her too and says, "Well, little elf, I suppose you're family now." During the Doran family house party, Feely turns on Lord and thinks it's the funniest thing ever. He and Keely start with, "I've never seen a diamond in the flesh." Everyone groans and throws popcorn at them, but they keep going.
Bilbo says, "Have we moved on to karaoke already?"
They get to, "And we'll never be royals." And everyone sings, "Royals, it's all red in our blood." So obviously Dees has to sing, "Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee."
And Tariel rolls her eyes up to heaven.
And the whole house looks at her at the end for,
"Let me live that fantasy."
They all stay at her house after Dwalin makes a few calls to secure the area. Tariel offers her bed and futon to Thorin and Dees respectively, but they decline, saying that as children they sometimes slept on the floor in front of the fire just because. Keely sneaks into her room in the middle of the night, and they start kissing. She's under the covers, and he stays above them, but he kisses her deeply, trying to convey how happy he is that things worked out. He tilts her head back, strokes her tongue with his, and she melts under him. Things start to get heated, so Tariel says, "Keely, you need to leave. Your family will come looking for you." Keely whispers, "I'm never leaving you." The words hit her harder than she expected. Tariel has always been on her own, and the idea that someone will stay by her side is more touching than she wants to admit. They fall asleep together until Feely jumps on the bed in the morning like the idiot that he is.
Legolas finally figures out where Tariel is because her picture shows up in a gossip mag. But he doesn't read those. He was just in a grocery store and it was there. Yeah, he doesn't read royalty today. You read royalty today. Obviously, Thranduil only reads business magazines and ones that he might show up in, like Business Week, Business in the Forest, or EQ, Elf Quarterly. He also never goes grocery shopping. He has people for that. So, Legolas immediately heads for Erebor. Hello! Tariel basically raised him, even if he is now all grown up. And Thranduil vaguely wonders where Legolas might be about a week later.
Tariel left her cell phone behind when she left, so he just can't text her. She hasn't been checking her email, used no credit cards, or even her bank account, though she seems to have taken money with her. Yes, she was trying to be difficult to track, but mostly she was trying to make a clean break with her past. Wow, that final fight must have been a doozy. I feel like Thranduil sort of wrote her off.
Okay, so Legolas is all stressed and arrives in Erebor. Maybe he gets some tea to calm down. Because why not? That's what she did, yeah? Eyes connect across cafe to book area. Perhaps some swearing happens. And Legolas is all, "Why'd you leave? Why did I have to find out you were here from trashy grocery tabloids?" And Tariel's all, "Wait, what? Tabloids?" And Keely, lurking nearby for reasons, feels guilty, even though he hasn't seen that one either. Lego, "Yes!" The headline read, "Crown Prince Finds a Fiery Fling." Tariel, "But I'm not dating the..." Keely, "Ugh! Stupid tabloids! Can't get anything right! Always causing problems!" Lego looks at him, all one eyebrow raised. A wild Dory appears.
He uses, "Let me introduce you to my nephew Gimli." It was very effective.
They have tea.
Should we end it there? They're all one big happy family. Everyone talked about their feelings. Thorne accepted the relationship. And Tariel finally has the future she always wanted.
And everyone lived happily ever after. But especially Tariel. Montage ending! Tariel did eventually get her PhD in Shire Lit, marry Keely after he asked her about 23 times, and make the Nook the most kick-ass website in the known world. Keely finally did get the council to change the rules on the line of succession, making his brother the spare, until years later when Dees abdicated because she was too busy being awesome at something. This comes in handy, though, for when his granddaughter becomes the most beloved monarch in 1,000 years. Feely does eventually become king, and does quite well at it, just as Bilbo said he would. Bilbo and Thorin, after some persuasion, retire to spend their golden, and frankly far more years than anyone expected, in the Shire. Tariel visits them often. Legolas and Gimli marry and start a very successful Middle-earth travel company, specializing in tours of hidden and awesome places. Bandits have learned to leave them be. And Thranduil went on to be on many more magazine covers, even after that time his son brought his boyfriend home to meet him and took years off his life. The end.
The end. Thanks for listening.
Reader's notes. I would like to point out that Ori runs the book section of the Nook, and Dory, and his, with his tea and pastries that are awesome, run the other side of the Nook. I could have sworn his pastries were written in here somewhere. Did we read that?
We did read about Dory's pastries. We didn't explain why they were a plot point.
They're awesome. That is why.
Second reader's note, the comment, "You'll never be as good a king as Thror," came through because Thror was an awesome king. Then Thrain made a deal with Smaug, drove the kingdom into ruin, and Thorin is trying to bring Erebor back to its glory days.
Third reader's note, the mugging that's referenced in here was this whole thing where Keeley had a broken arm and he and Tariel were on a date and then someone tried to mug them and she kicked their ass. And about halfway through the ass kicking, the mugger realized who he tried to mug, a.k.a. the spare, and ran away. So it was all like, she saved his life. That's a point in her favor.
Anything else? Did we forget anything else?
Oh, I'm sure there's other stuff, but that's, like, the stuff that, like, jumped out at me.
Yeah, those are, like, the really big, big... Wait, also, we got to the end. Does she still not know he's the crown prince? Because Legolas, like, says, oh...
No,
like,
but he's not the crown prince. He's the spare.
Oh, yes, the spare.
Feely is the crown prince, and that is why she was like, what? And Keeley was like, stupid tabloids.
Yeah.
She discovers up here at the top before Bilbo comes in, because otherwise awkward.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we're good. I think we're good.
We're good. We're sorry. We're sorry, listeners. Sorry for that confusion. And we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be